Victor and Lois are siblings who were both diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. Lois lives and works in London, and Hector is a student living in Vienna. In their weekly podcast, Anxiety Calling, they'll be talking about different aspects of living with generalized anxiety disorder and how they get by in day-to-day life.
Welcome to episode 24 of Anxiety Calling. My name is Lois.
And I'm Hector. And today we're going to be catching up with everything.
Yeah. A lot of people noticed that it's been a couple of weeks since we last recorded, and I've got a couple of messages asking, you know, what's going on. We're really sorry about this. It's just been really hard to kind of coordinate our schedules because there's been so much going on. So we kind of figured, let's just do a little catch-up episode where we can like talk about what we've been up to, because there's been a lot of changes in both of our lives recently, and kind of how we've been, you know, managing that with anxiety as well, and how it's impacted us and so on.
How we've not managed to record the podcast,
which has also given me some anxiety.
It sort of stuck in the back of my mind a lot, and I felt guilty.
Yeah, I mostly felt guilty about it, because I kind of felt like I was leaving people in the lurch. Because, like, I mean, I know that a lot of people I knew, you know, because like we'd racked up quite a few episodes at this point. This is number 24, right? So a lot of people were like saying, like, oh, well, you know, I still need to catch up. So I kind of feel, okay, we've got maybe a couple of weeks where we don't have to worry. But there are, I know that there are quite a few people who actually listen every week, which is so awesome. But then we've kind of let them down. And also I know how important it is to be consistent. Like if you want your, you know, podcast to do well, you kind of need to be consistent. And so like knowing that we haven't been consistent has been preying on my mind a lot.
Yes, mine too.
Yeah. So hopefully we will get back to being consistent.
Yeah, I think we can do that. I mean, what was going on with you? You were working a lot.
So much. So, well, for a while, I think maybe some will remember, I was made redundant from my job. So I was looking for work for some time. And then I was kind of, you know, I was applying for stuff, but I didn't really want to do a full-time thing again. I kind of felt anxious about getting back into that, because I really do want to be able to act. And I know that, so with my previous job, I had this flexibility where they knew that that was something that I was pursuing, like on the side, so that if I did have an audition or something, they were cool with me going for it. But if I got a new job, then I'm not sure I would have that flexibility. So I was kind of really anxious about getting stuck in a new job. And then what if my big break, you know, came along, but I couldn't take it because I'm stuck in a job and I have to give like at least 3 months notice sometime with some jobs, you know. But then I wound up getting the opportunity to start doing some freelance work, which I hadn't really considered doing before. And so I kind of had a recruiter who was putting feelers out for me for that. And then it took a while for something to come through. But then what happened was two recruiters came through at the same time on the same day with two jobs at the same time. And I wasn't sure which one was going to work out. And so I had a chat with one of the recruiters, and she basically said I should just take both. So then I had two jobs at the same time. So I went from having no job to having two jobs at the same time. And at the same time, we would get preparing to leave, to move, because we were moving flat as well. And so I think at first it was, the first week was just my, I think my anxiety, the levels of anxiety that I felt in the first week were like insane, because I was so worried about, because I'd taken on two jobs, which is like, I was thought to myself, what on earth were you thinking, Lois? You know what I mean? It's like, why, in what universe is that a good idea with your anxiety to like take on two jobs at the same time? You know, I'm usually worried about not performing well, and when I have one job, you know, so having to perform well in two jobs at the same time, and also with freelance, you have to perform well, because like otherwise you get a bad rep, you know, and then no one's going to hire you if you have a bad rep.
Yeah.
So the anxiety to perform well in both jobs and juggle both of them at the same time was immense, but it actually worked out just fine. It was really good. I mean, now I'm finished with both contracts, thank God. But the first couple of weeks, like, oh my God, it was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, that can, sudden immense workload pressure and everything new is quite frightening sometimes. I mean, with me, what was going with me? I mean, I was working.
I mean, you got a lot. You started a new position and also got promoted, didn't you?
I got promoted, yeah, and was working like a 50-hour week and had some domestic issues. It isn't even domestic issues, but sort of, you know, romantic difficulties.
Personal life issues.
Personal life crises. Stuff that, you know, just throws spanners in the works and just sometimes makes you there were days when maybe I could have managed to record an episode, but I was just too grumpy.
Yeah, we had we had days where we were planning to, but then something would sort of come up and either me or you were just like, I just can't face it. I just don't have the energy, you know, and especially I think a lot of, you know, sort of romantic turmoil, it just sucks so much energy out of you, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, that did happen a couple of times. Also, the problem was usually we would do this at the weekends, right? But your days off are not at the weekends. They're on Monday and Tuesday. And I was in the thick of it on Monday and Tuesday with my freelance jobs. And sometimes I didn't even finish until
midnight.
What was it? Sometimes 9 o'clock in the evening, my time.
Yeah.
Because the thing, I was working for agencies, and oftentimes, you know, with regular jobs at companies, that you work 9 to 5 and at 5 you just go home. Like, that's just the way it is. But with agencies, you might get a brief at 6. And they need it, you know, ASAP. And then you just get stuck on it, maybe until 10 o'clock in the evening, if you're really unlucky. And so I had a couple of nights where that happened. So frustrated. Rewriting stuff, you know, with last minute amends coming through and all these deadlines that you have to meet. So that was quite intense for a bit.
Yep. So real grown-up life sort of catching up.
Yes, it sucks.
Making it difficult to be frivolous and make a podcast. But I mean,
it would have been nice because it would have been a good outlet at the same time. You know?
Yes. I mean, what I had to think about a lot when we were both working so much was, it does sometimes come to me. I quite enjoy the job most of the time that I'm doing right now, because it feels sort of useful what I'm doing. But I do sometimes ask myself, even I'm sitting in front of the computer, I'm still in the office at 7 p.m. and I'm doing something with an Excel sheet, and I hate Excel sheets and I'm not very good at it. And I then suddenly this thought hit me while I was sitting there. It came to my mind, and I'm sure many people have had this thought, is, you know, what am I actually doing right now?
Yeah.
And how can it be that my life led up to this right now?
How has it come to this?
I mean, there must be Excel sheets which are important when it's about delivering food to places that need it, or I don't know, water, wind turbines for clean energy. I don't know.
I'm sure that there are useful Excel sheets for sure.
No, for sure. But then it felt so far away from what one, I don't know how you sort of grow up, and as a child you play a lot and you train your body to, you know, run and jump and climb.
Have all these hopes and dreams.
Yeah. And then, you spend a huge part of your adult life just sitting in front of a computer.
It feels
8 hours
unnatural.
A day. Hours a day sometimes. I mean, I haven't done it like that for a while because I did other jobs and I had scholarships and stuff while I was studying. But so this was the first time in a while that I'd been doing a real office job again. And millions and millions and millions and millions of people all over the world do this, and it's, you know, it's just how it is. But there are days when I feel like it's very strange what I'm doing.
It is. When you really think about it, I think one thing I just like, that's also one of the reasons I didn't want to go back to a full-time office job, was it just feels like unnatural to me. It doesn't feel like, how is that normal? How is it normal that we work 5 days a week for like at least eight hours a day, and we only get 2 days off per week? And then and then throughout the year, we have like maybe, if you're lucky, you have 20 days off, which is like a month in the grand scheme of things.
And of course, they're much worse jobs than sitting in offices, you know, like hard labor. But still, I mean, I don't know, somehow it somehow feels like we've made everything very complicated, and it's very far. I mean,
and again, it's not like I get to actually do anything else, because like I said before, I have no skills. I don't know what on earth I would do if I wasn't doing one of these jobs. Like, I can't do, there's not much that I can't. I mean, you know, no, I've worked in service a lot, and I'm not actually pretty good at working in service, you know, which I do think is an accomplishment, because it's not easy being patient with idiots. Yeah, I think it's a skill.
But you have to be patient with idiots in the office as well.
Oh, God, you have to be patient all the time with idiots. I feel like sometimes you could get, I'm listening.
There's always at least one terrible person you have to work with in the office, isn't there? I mean, you start a job and you think, oh, everyone's really nice, and then at some point, a real asshole turns up and just makes your life difficult.
And you have to just get on with it. There's nothing you can do about it.
The older I get, the worse I am at it, I think. I mean, I had jobs when I was like, had to work directly together with a really terrible person. I just was very miserable and just dreaded going to work. I had jobs like that.
Yeah, I had an issue recently similar to that. It wasn't like a direct colleague, thank God. It was someone who was on the client side. So like, I was working in an agency and I had different clients who I was writing for. And one of the clients was very difficult, but it wasn't just with me. Like, this person was difficult with everyone, and everyone dreaded working with her, and like also like specifically wanted to, often like requested to be taken off the account so they didn't have to work with this person. And I didn't know this going into my task, but it was like very clear very soon, and it got to the point where I wrote something and it was approved by the head of copywriting, by the account managers, then it went over to the client, and it was like a double client situation where it was like for one brand but on a particular platform. And the client on the platform side, like, they were very much like, yeah, this is perfect tone of voice for our platform, this works. But then on the client side, it was like, just got completely, they basically completely changed the brief. So everything else, which happens, you know, that's fine. So I had to rewrite it. So I rewrote it. And then I wound up getting to see, again, I got great feedback from the one side, but then from the client, it was like, I got to see like actual comments from this person, and they were really, really rude and hurtful, but not constructive. Like, I know as a copywriter, you need to take criticism and you need to be able to change things, but this was not constructive. It was more like, I hate this, or this could be done a thousand times better, and stuff like that. Just like not helpful at all. And so I got very, very, I felt really bad. Like, I was really upset because I felt like I must be a terrible writer. This is bad. This is reflecting terribly on me, and everyone's going to think I'm incompetent. But the head of copywriting did get in touch and said, like, listen, this is not a reflection of your work. This person is impossible to work with. And she's written, like, she'd commented on his work before where she'd said, like, are you stupid? Like, she'd literally just put that in the comments. And like, so he said that this happens a lot. They have complained about her before, but there really hasn't been much, hasn't really helped much. And also it's kind of difficult because it's their clients. So, like, if they need the clients to make money, so what are they going to do? So then I rewrote it again, went through multiple rounds of feedback with the head of copywriting and with the account managers and everything. We were fairly sure this time it must be a winner. And then basically her and she got two other people to comment on it as well, and they were just as rude and nasty as she was. And at some point they were also like, why don't we get they were like suggesting different names of different copywriters who should come in and actually write it instead of me. And it just got to the point where I just completely had a complete breakdown because I couldn't take it anymore. Because I'd rewritten this piece. I'd been on this bloody thing. And I just couldn't take it anymore. It should have been just like an easy post. Like it was like a blog thing. It was like a short article almost. Like it should have been, I've written so many articles, you know, in my life. It shouldn't have been a problem. So at some point I was then so paralyzed by the fear of not doing it right, of getting it wrong, of being criticized mercilessly like that again. And basically it kind of felt like bullying at that point. I was crying. I don't usually cry about stuff at work, but this was, I just couldn't take it anymore. And then I spent, after crying for about an hour, I then spent another 2 hours like staring at my screen, completely paralyzed in fear of like being shit. And then I contacted the head of copywriting and said that I have just reached my limit, and listed all of the things that had been said to me in the call that were not okay. And all of the things that were comments on the thing that I'd written that were just like absolutely not okay. And said that the feedback at this point, there wasn't that much still to put in there. It was doable. And I said, if I do that this one last time, can I please be taken off this client? Because I just can't do it. I only had 2 weeks left on my contract, and I was seriously considering quitting at this point. And he was really nice about it and said like, okay, well, if he'd seen that comment about bringing in another copywriter, he would have deleted that because that's unacceptable. And said that he also feels like it is bullying at this point. And if I do this one last time, he promises he'll take on anything after that. And so that's what we then did in the end. And I was taken off the client, and that's the only time I've ever, ever done that. I've had to work with difficult people before. But this was the only time where I just decided I had to set a boundary.
Well, I had a similar difficult colleague who was just driving me nuts for weeks and weeks. Just dreaded having to have anything to do with him. He got fired, luckily. Apparently I wasn't the only person who was having difficulties.
Well, it's usually not. If you're having that much difficulty with somebody, it's usually not just you, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't my superior, which was good. He was sort of in a different department somehow, but he seemed to, for some reason, made it his goal to sort of just annoy me and make my life unnecessarily difficult in an already difficult job. Don't know why. Why people do that? He made his own life difficult in the end, you know.
But, yeah, well, that's karma for you.
Well, it could be, yeah.
That's the thing. People who are like that, they do just make their own lives difficult.
Mm.
And it wasn't a case of like, oh, you know, is this person nasty or is this person just, you know, does this person just get the job done? Like, no, this person that I was dealing with was actually just nasty to the point where it was not. I'd never experienced anything like it. And I've dealt with really, really, really nasty people, but nothing has ever compared to this. Because you can be firm and you can be blunt, but professional.
Mm.
And that's the thing. It was at the point where it wasn't professional anymore and it just felt personal.
Mm. But yeah, so I guess today we basically talked about work again.
Oh yeah, but actually, I was going to quickly do a little segue, as you would say.
Yeah, I'm waiting. I'm ready.
Segue. So
segue.
Like I said, I not only was doing these jobs, I also was moving flat.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And so we moved from the little tiny flat we had, which we found out is actually probably was illegal for the two of us to be living in that flat, on such a small flat. Like, I think just by human rights standards here in the UK, I think they're too few square meters for two people to be living. And so we spent like almost entire lockdown in that tiny little flat. And then we wound up being able to move to a flat in the same square, so very, very, very close, that was like almost twice as big. It has two rooms and it has two bathrooms and a balcony, which is really, really nice. But it wasn't too much, it wasn't much more money than when we were paying at the time. So it seemed worth it. And oh my God, we thought, I mean, it didn't, literally made no sense to hire a moving team, right? Because it was just across the square. Like, there was no point in hiring a van. Like, there was nowhere for the van to go to. We had to walk across the square. But also, we were moving in the middle of the week. I think it was on Thursday or something like that. So I also didn't have, I couldn't really ask friends to come and help me. And also, I don't really have, I have friends in London, but I feel like when you ask somebody to help you move, you should probably be related to them if you still want them to be friends with you afterwards. You know, it's just like one of those things. I absolutely hate help. I just don't like helping people move, if I'm being completely frank. It's not a fun thing to do, because I have no upper body strength and I hate carrying stuff, right? So I didn't really know who to ask here. Like, I have a couple of friends, but not really anyone who I would feel comfortable asking to help me move, you know. It just sort of seems like, it seemed like too much of an imposition. So, but I thought, we don't have that much stuff. We'll be fine. The two of us, we can make this work, right? And we had to move everything in one. We had to move everything by, I think, noon the next day, because a cleaning team was going to come to clean the flat, because we were told we had to get a professional cleaning team in. And so we had, we had a limited amount of time. We didn't have a check-in here in this flat until 11 in the morning. And then straight after that, the internet was going to be put in. And then there was like a panic situation, because it was like, oh, we need to get permission from the landlord to get an internet cable laid. And we didn't know that. So then we were like calling frantically, trying to get permission, which we did get, but after the internet was already put in. So I was like, listen, we need internet. We have to work on Monday. If they say, oh, well, you know, no, then it's too late and we're just gonna have to lose some of our deposit, like, that's just what, you know. But they said no, it's fine in the end anyway. But then that took until like 2, and then we were starving. So then we had a sandwich and we went and had lunch, and then it was like pushing 3 p.m and we hadn't even started moving shit over to the other new flat. And so I was like, it was so hard. Heck,
I bet. Everything, I know what it is. I'm moving next week. Probably.
Oh shit. Everybody, but you have a really have a tiny flat, but you also have like, you must have like dude friends you can ask to help you,
right? I don't have dude friends, Lois.
What about,
you know this, I have,
I know you have mostly girlfriends friends. And I have that's the thing, Ian, so my partner mostly has girlfriends too, so like I don't know. It's like there's a group of girls we could ask, but I didn't feel comfortable asking them to help us move. I just felt like that'd be mean. I had one guy friend here, but we're not really talking that much at the moment. And he works, so I didn't really feel like I could ask him. And so, yeah, it was the two of us. And to be fair, my partner had to do most of the heavy lifting. But, like, oh, my God. Towards the end of the day, I was in so much pain that halfway across the square, I just put the sofa down, like half of the sofa. And I just couldn't go on. And I started like, I'm not sure if I cried. I want to say no, but if we're being honest, I probably did start crying. I was just saying, I can't do it anymore. This is too much. And like I said, we just have to get up early tomorrow and carry on. I can't do this. I just can't do this. And he was like saying like, please, can we just get the sofa into the flat, just the sofa, and then we'll stop. We'll do the bed tomorrow. Because we already brought the mattress over. And like there again, we had to like, we thought we were really clever and we like wrapped it in this sort of bubble wrap stuff, but it came off halfway across the square. Anyway.
Can't be as bad as my last move, but we talked about that on the
podcast. We talked about that. That was terrible. It wasn't as bad as that, to be fair. When we moved in though, then we realized, okay, there was like no pressure in the water boilers, and we had to figure out how to turn that on so we could get hot water. The water boiler was leaking, which is never good. And clearly the previous tenant had just like put a little cloth underneath it to catch the water, like had just didn't care that the water, the fucking boiler was leaking. That's not a good sign. So that was happening. Oh my God. And it was just, I was, everything hurt. And the next day, everything still hurt because, you know, we'd been carrying stuff. I had never worked so many muscles. And because we had to go, you know, up and down and up and down. Oh, man. And the next day, we've just finished to get everything out just when the cleaners arrived. And then, you know, everything was just all over the place here. We managed to unpack things quite quickly, though, so I was happy about that. But there was all this shit hanging around. Like, the previous tenant had left all this crap. There were, like, 5 water filters. Like, what the hell am I supposed to... And we had to get permission to throw everything we wanted to do, we had to get permission, you know? And so what I've noticed since moving... So, like, on the one hand, it's been a massive upgrade. Obviously, there's a lot more space, which is nice. Because then you can also, like, get some... You know, if you need some time to yourself, like, you can have some time to yourself. And also now I have a bath, and I love baths. And so, and that's a great way for me to relax. It does help with anxiety. If I'm having like a really, really bad day.
God, I'm moving to a bath as well.
Yeah, it's great. Like, and also because your bath right now is tiny, like you can't even fit in there properly.
No, I can't. I can't really have a bath. First time it seemed fun, but then it just turned out to be impractical.
No, because then your top half just gets cold. I just feel like it's not a bath. It's not a bath unless my boobs are underwater. Mm. Other than that, like, it's no point. What am I even doing? If, you know? So that has been, it's been quite an improvement. And the having a balcony is great. The one thing, other than the fact that we have moths and we had to have, now there's a fumigating process in process right now to get rid of the fucking carpet moths. Other than that, the one thing that I've noticed that's been quite hard is I'm really scared in the new flat, and I have this, and it's strange because I wasn't really that afraid in the small one, but that was also because I felt like there was nowhere for anyone to hide. And I feel like in this, I know it sounds really silly, but in this new flat, there's so many places someone could hide. There are these 2 giant wardrobes. Someone could hide in there. So if somebody like managed to sneak in, like Spider-Man came in through the balcony.
Are you like on the 4th floor or something?
7th floor.
7th floor. It's quite hard to get into the 7th floor.
It is, but there have been a lot of break-ins in the square. Like, it's quite...
They don't hide in the flats. Usually they just break in, take something, leave, right?
I know, but murderers hide in the... I'm not afraid of people stealing stuff. That's the thing. If somebody wants to steal my shit, that's fine. You know what? Take it. Do anything. Take anything. Just don't murder me in my sleep, you know? Or don't murder my partner in front of me and then leave me alive, you know, or kill me after murdering my partner and me having seen what happened to my partner, knowing full well what's going to happen to me. You know what I mean?
These are very unlikely scenarios.
I know this doesn't happen often, but it does happen. And who's to say it wouldn't happen to me? That would just be arrogant. So, also, door handle looks different from everyone else's because it's clearly been replaced. Why has it been replaced? And there's clearly been slight damage at the side of the door. Why is this? Is it because somebody lost their key or forgot their key and then they had to break open the door and probably then have it switched? Or did someone break in? And that's why they had to change the whole thing. These are things that I don't know. And I just feel like it would be easy to break into our flat. Like, I look at the door, it's like my key goes in there and it opens immediately. Like with my other flat, I had to work to open that door. It was very hard to open the door. I felt like it just seemed more secure and we didn't have as many points of entry. Now we have 2 points of entry on the balcony and 1 point of entry. Like, I don't want to give too much away in case anyone listening wants to break in, but the point is, I just feel like, I know it's not very likely, but I feel like it would be easier to break into this flat than it would be in my old flat. And I don't feel like I would be able to do anything. Like if they just want to steal stuff again, that's fine. I don't mind that. And then because burglars also usually come when you're not around, so that's fine. But it could also be a burglary gone wrong where somebody shows up. And you can get a gun here if you want to get a gun. It's not like in America where it's legal to carry a gun. But if you know the right people, you can get a gun. And if you're in East London, people are more likely to have a gun than elsewhere in London. Or at the very least, they're going to have knives. And I don't want to be stabbed. Like, I'd rather be shot than stabbed. So, and also, there are weird noises all the time. And I can just hear stuff all the time. And I don't know if it's like, if my neighbor comes home, it sounds like somebody's getting in, coming into our flat. That's what it sounds like. It sounds so close. And so every time I hear someone else's door go, I'm like, was that my door or is that someone else's door? And also the neighbors that live above us, like, I'm sorry to use bad words, but they're cunts. Like, I don't have any other way of describing them. Last night, because England won against Ukraine, they had a party upstairs that went on. And I don't even, at some point somebody called the security team and they sorted it, but like, it went on for ages. And when, even when they're not having a party, they just stomp all the time. They stomp. And like in the middle of the night, there's a thud every night in the middle of the night. In the first couple of nights, it would wake us up and we thought someone was breaking in every night. And now I've gotten used to the thud and the stomping, but I just don't understand what they're doing. I don't understand why, what are they doing? What is wrong with them? I don't get it. It sounds like they're walking around with like concrete blocks stuck to their feet. And we asked other neighbors, like, listen, do you hear your neighbors walking around above you? And everyone's like, no, I can't really hear anything. I'm like, why do we have the one neighbor? Why? You know?
Well, I think you'll get used to it after a while. I mean,
I think so. Like, I'm really hoping that I'll stop worrying about getting murdered in my sleep. But like, so far, every single night, at some point, I start agonizing. And I know it'd be so weird. It'd be so random for somebody to be like, okay, I'm going to go up onto the 7th floor and choose the apartment furthest away from the exit. So it's like, if they did call the police. Another thing is, the police aren't even going to fucking do anything. You call the police here, it's going to take an hour at least for them to get here.
When I first moved to Berlin, I moved to Neukölln, which is very hip, but also very rough area. And I was on the ground floor and they hadn't even built the window.
Oh, yeah, the window wasn't even closed.
Properly. I couldn't even close it or anything. And it was a one bedroom apartment and it was the ground floor, like I said. And the neighbors were very weird. There's one very, very crazy neighbor. I first time I saw her, I didn't know she was my neighbor, but she was trying to buy a bottle of schnapps in Aldi with a paper credit card. And when the cashier said, I'm sorry, I can't sell you this, she took the bottle and just threw it into a rack of other bottles.
Oh my God, that's so destructive. I love it.
Yeah, but okay, but this was a person who was, you know, ready for violence. And she lived basically next door to me, but she liked me, which didn't make it better necessarily. And there were noises in the walls all the time, which I eventually worked out that it was rats. But you'd wake up because it was like something scratching right next to your ear.
Oh, God.
And it was just rats that were inside the wall.
And also, you lived alone.
I lived alone. Yeah, I lived alone. I've never had such a terrible, terrible flat. And I think if you lived in that place,
I would
for like 1 week, then you would never worry in your flat that you have right now ever again on the 7th floor.
The thing is, like, I know how ridiculous it sounds, but like the anxiety that I feel.
And there were spiders. There were spiders because I was the ground floor.
We have spiders here too, though.
Yeah, but in the 7th floor.
Yeah, because they live on our balcony.
But not
they
like,
don't usually come inside. They usually
like
on the balcony.
Big, not the big black jumping spiders, though.
No, we had a harvest man.
Yeah, they're fine. You know,
I'm
talking about the big black jumping spiders. The thing is, because my apartment,
it covered in ivy?
No, but it was directly above the cellar.
Oh no!
God, the cellar was the creepiest cellar I've ever seen. It was a very creepy flat, and I was very glad when I moved out. And I think it was the best time ever after I had to leave that flat. And the reason I had to leave that flat, if you remember, was because they poisoned rats that died under my floorboards, and
oh
the smell
God, and
of
the
dead
smell.
Rats came into my flat. And that was very bad. And I've never had anything so bad since then. And so think of that when you're worrying about.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
There were just people. There were just weirdos. Just, you know, come into our backyard. It was just, you know, Berlin Neukölln. It was a rough area. There was violence. You know, there was gun violence on our street. You know, and there was a cafe. In my street, and there was, you know, at least once a week there'd be like the police thing. There were gunshots
I remember. Gunshots here too sometimes, but I haven't ever seen anything. I've only heard things, and like I hear from other neighbors like, oh, somebody tried to break in, or I got mugged and all that stuff. But I never, and I'm not like worried when I'm walking around outside here. I love the area, and I don't feel unsafe, to be honest. Like, I'm not an idiot. Like, I don't, like, I'm not going to go down back alleys at 3 a.m. but I don't feel unsafe when I'm just out and about and walking around, if I'm being honest. But for some reason,
I never felt unsafe in Neukölln. I only felt unsafe in my flat.
Yeah, that's the thing. I only feel unsafe in this
because
flat.
There was only one exit.
That's the thing. I can't even jump out the window here. Like, it's so far up, and I have nothing. Like, I don't even have, like, not that I'm a fan of weapons, but I don't even have like a cricket bat or a baseball bat. And like, you know, I don't know. I had a
crowbar.
And that's a good idea, actually. But also, like, okay, so we had in our old flat, we had like this cool, like, if we thing that you could like close when you locked the door. And like, if somebody was trying to get in, it would like stop it from opening, like a chain, but it wasn't a chain because it was much more sturdy than a chain. And like, there was no getting in if that thing was like, you had at least another 10 minutes before they managed to get through that. So you'd have time to like get a knife and stab their hands or something. Maybe we should. Right now we have one of those flimsy little chains. All they would need is like wire cutters and they'd be able to cut.
But Lois, if someone tries to open your door and they see that thing's there, then they know you're at home, then they're just going to bugger off again, you know?
Hopefully, unless they're a psychopath.
What if they're a psychopath, then they'd probably just wait outside your door until you come out, you know?
How is this helping? And also, you don't know. You never know if somebody, and I know this sounds paranoid, but I can't turn these intrusive thoughts off. You never know when someone's
talking. Okay, but you'd have time.
For all I know, there could be some stalker.
To call the police.
Hours to get here. Hector, the Met is terrible.
Okay, true. I live in Vienna. The police are here in like 10 seconds.
Bad.
I just have to put my head out the window and scream and someone, the police are here in 10 seconds.
Yeah, you're lucky. It's not the case here. Like,
the problem is that the police are they're too active, you know, if I drive my bicycle.
Too eager. Here, they're not going to do shit.
They're very eager here.
They have their hands, you know, their hands are full with other stuff here, you know.
They're not really eager to help you here, though, unless you're, you know, a right-wing protester protesting vaccinations, then.
Here, I don't know what they do. But I hear all these stories from people like, oh, I called the police and it took them like 8 hours to get here. And you're like, great. You know, I'm going to be cold in the ground by then. Anyway, but recently when my boyfriend was, he was gone overnight and I was alone, right? And I just thought to myself, like, I know that my only option for actually getting any sleep is to just drug myself. So I took sleeping pills because I was like, I know that all I'm going to do all night is like, listen if somebody's trying to break in. And so I was like, I might as well just drug myself and go to sleep because most likely nothing's going to happen. And if somebody comes to murder me in my sleep, at least I'll be asleep. I'd rather be asleep for it, if I'm being honest. I don't want to see that.
Disclaimer, in a world where mental illness is a hot topic, two siblings who are not mental health professionals are trying to raise awareness and help end the stigma of mental illness with a podcast. Are they heroes? Maybe. We may never know. But what we do know is that they are not mental health professionals, and any advice and information given in this podcast is based on their personal experiences and is meant to raise awareness and help end the stigma of mental illness. Did we mention they are not mental health professionals? Thank you for listening. This message was brought to you by the good of humanity, aka Jib, the disclaimer dude, aka Jared Rowland Whitbeck.
So that's what I did, and I didn't die. But then today, like, I was having he was out again this morning and I was having a shower after the gym and I could swear I heard someone in the flat. It was probably just a suitcase falling over, but that in itself is creepy and I don't like it. And so then I was like, fuck, what is that? I was showering, I was naked. It was like psycho, man. I don't want that to happen to me. And the door wasn't locked. My bathroom door wasn't locked. I was like, how could I make that mistake? I know to lock the bathroom door because of psycho. So then I was thinking, okay, shit, what do I do? And I was like looking around, like just in case, if there are any weapons, nothing. So what I settled on was a Febreze bottle. Cause I was like, if I sprayed someone in the face with Febreze, I bet that wouldn't be nice. So I then searched the flat with my Febreze bottle, but there was no one there. No one's hiding in the cupboard either. So it was fine, but like that's, I don't know, I didn't feel this way in the old flat. And I think it was because there was less space for people and there were less weird noises.
I seem to remember when you first moved to London, you were more nervous.
Yeah, definitely. I was definitely more nervous.
I think in Munich, after a while, you'll just get used to it and you won't care anymore.
I hope so. Because like I wasn't really worried. When I first moved to London, I was a bit nervous, especially because like, you know, you would hear like, oh, you know, what was it? Oh, they have, when they were like showing us, they have really good security here, by the way. I was like, why do I need to know that? Like, what am I supposed to be worried about? Like, oh, make sure you don't let anyone in behind you when you're going in the door. I was like, why? And so that kind of made me a bit on edge, because it was like, well, what am I worried about? What am I scared is going to happen? Because like I said, I've never been mugged before. No one's ever stolen anything from me before. I think in that event, I would probably be very complying, you know, just like give them all my shit, because I don't care about that stuff. Like, I can get new stuff, you know. And I wouldn't, if somebody breaks in and steals my shit, that's not the end of the world. But it's not even me so much. And the thing is, like, my partner's 5'6", very big man. I don't think I have to worry about him, but there's a part of me that's so terrified that something's going to happen to him one day, anything, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. And so that's what I'm afraid of. It's like, what if somebody breaks in, and what if, you know, it's a burglary, but it goes wrong, and then he gets shot or he gets stabbed, you know? What the fuck would I do? I would call an ambulance, obviously, but, you know, it's just one of those things that I feel in a way, like, I can't, and I don't feel like I would be able to protect him. It'd also be a bit redundant, me trying to protect him.
Maybe you should do a martial arts course.
I did once, but... Okay. And like, I can do self-defense and all that, but only if somebody's actually attacking me. Otherwise, I don't know what to do. Because like, I only know defense. Like, I don't know attacks, because I don't want to attack anyone. But also, it's like, whenever there is like a weird noise, and because like, he usually puts earplugs in because he's so sensitive to noise. But whenever there is a noise, like, he just like jumps up, and it's like, it's go time.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, again, like worrying, because I'm more like, no, you got to be quiet and be sneaky about it. Like, don't just get up and like go and confront someone, you know, fully naked. That's not a good thing to do, in my opinion. Because once we had this once in the old flat, in the middle of the night, this big bag full of cans that we had stored in a cupboard because there wasn't enough room in the kitchen collapsed and fell down and burst the door open, and there was cans going everywhere. And he didn't know what it was, so he was like jumped out of bed, like ready to fight whoever was breaking in.
And you froze.
I stopped him. I was like, because I knew exactly what it was. Like, I heard it coming, and I was like, what the fuck is that? And then when I heard all the cans going all over the place, I was like, oh, the thing has come down. So I, like, every time this happens and he's like getting ready to like jump out of bed to like meet the intruders, I have to like grab him and stop him and be like, stop. What are you doing? Where are you going? It's not what you think it is, you know? Because like, our bell used to be really loud and obnoxious. And whenever it rang, sometimes people would ring it randomly at like 6 a.m. because they got the wrong, you know, they had the wrong number. So they didn't know where they were supposed to be ringing. And so they got it wrong, and then they would ring out one. And it was really loud. And like every time that happened, he would like jump up out of bed in fight mode. But now he wears earplugs, so we won't even hear if somebody's coming to murder us.
I don't think anyone's going to come murder you, Lewis.
Probably not. But what if, okay, so best case scenario is an actual person. Worst case scenario, there's some freaky invisible person who makes noises in this flat all the time.
Well, I think that's probably preferable to a real person.
Yeah, God, actually, you're so right. Yeah, we've talked about this before. I would definitely rather have a ghost than a person.
Yeah, like I think one of our listeners said you can befriend a ghost.
Oh, yes. You could be friends with a ghost, which would be so cool.
Would be pretty cool, actually.
It would be cool to have a ghost friend. Nobody else would be able to see them, you know. Yeah. Have your own special friendship with a ghost.
Yep.
So yeah, that's been also a big source of anxiety. I'm hoping it will stop at some point. I just really want to have one night where I just sleep. The first two nights, I've never slept so well because it was dark and it was quiet, you know. But since then, suddenly I've developed this immense anxiety about the safety of this flat, with no real reason to believe that it isn't safe, but somehow something feels unsafe to me and I don't know what it is, and it really bugs me.
I think these things pass in time.
Yeah, I mean, it's only been a couple of months. We've only been here since May, so.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's fine. It's fine.
Anyway, I think.
I think we've probably talked quite a bit now. How long have we been?
Well, it's about almost a bit more than an hour.
All right, we should probably wrap it up then.
Yes. Next week, we don't know what we're talking about yet.
Yeah, I have a couple of, you know, ideas floating about my head, but I will discuss them with you.
Yeah, we'll be keeping you updated about what's coming up. And yeah, thanks a lot for listening. Thanks for
sticking with us, and thanks for everyone who's been asking, you know, when our next episode is going to come out. Like, it's really nice to hear that, you know, you miss us.
Yeah.
And that you listen to us regularly. That's always great. And for everyone who's reached out, because you know, sometimes people reach out and tell us like how helpful it's been. And that's always just really, really nice to hear, because that's exactly why we do it. So thank you to everyone who's reached out. And thanks to everyone who's been listening all this time.
Yeah, thanks a lot. It's really, really motivating.
Yeah.
And really nice to hear. Yeah, well, if you haven't already, give us a follow on all of the known platforms.
Spotify, and, Apple Podcast. And if you want to, I want to say, like, if you want to get updates, go on our Instagram. We said we were going to do more on Instagram and we haven't, but we will. I promise we will be better on Instagram as well. But you can follow us on Instagram as well. If you just put in anxiety calling and look for our little telephone picture, that's us. Feel free to give us a follow.
And if you have any questions or there's anything you think might be interesting for us to talk about, just give us a direct message and we'll be in touch.
Instagram's the best place to get in touch.